lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic of Podcast.
Jimmy survives Superbikes.
I'm a survivor. I am a winner. I'm a complainer. I am
a
survivor.
You are a complainer.
No, bro, I'm a cockroach. Nothing can kill me in that. Well, nah. That weekend,
yeah.
That sun tried to pull me down, and I was like the Undertaker. I just kept on coming.
Guys, welcome. Episode 103, James said, didn't you?
Yep.
For the show? Beautiful 103. Welcome to Motorsport Republic, a podcast post World Superbikes Australia episode tonight. Thanks.
Just a little bit of an appetite for Thailand MotoGP.
I know, guys. We're heading off in 3 days to Buriram. Check the weather. 39 degrees on Sunday. There's going to be some grave scenes, I reckon, Buriram with the heat.
You guys think I was red?
Oh,
bro, yeah. You're going to be a tomato.
Oh, it's going to be crazy.
You might actually just melt into the ground like Terminator.
I don't know how the riders are going to do it. I do not know how they're going to do it. It is fucking hot.
Well, I spoke to Scott Redding,
yep.
And had a good chat with him at the...
Is that a bit of a teaser for
upcoming? That could be a bit of a teaser. You know, okay. I like that. Had a really good chat with me mate Scott. And he said that was the third hottest race he's ever been a part of.
Talk about Saturday World Superbikes.
Yeah. He said the first two were Jerez 2020, I think it was.
So talking 35.9 degrees, hottest day in Phillip Island in 14 years from all reports. Hottest track temperature they've ever seen at Phillip Island since they started recording these temps.
60.
So, it's an unbelievable day. Look, I didn't experience it. James was down there. Doing the hard yards.
Daniel was down there doing stuff.
Yep. And it was, from all reports, it was hot. People were dropping like flies. So.
Yeah, it was crazy. So. And like, I do not sweat. And I went into, shout out to Tara Morrison, got a P1 and I think race one, the 300s.
Yeah.
Went down, said g'day to her and had to get a photo and stuff on Motor Heaven. And I said to him, like, I don't normally sweat. And I was like caked in sweat. Mm. I was doing a T-shavs.
Amazing. And Phillip Island, like for anyone who doesn't realize, Phillip Island is usually 10 degrees cooler than Melbourne.
Well, what did Willie Nels say to us? Shout out to Willie Nels. Yeah. On race day, he's like, Barry Sheen used to say, Phillip Island's a gateway to hypothermia.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. It usually is.
And, yeah.
The night, like Saturday night, got down there, it was still 27, 28 degrees. We were lining up at Pinot's and thinking, you just don't experience this heat down there.
No,
so it was
you
a
don't.
Real unusual weather weekend. We didn't stop talking about the weather as you but yeah, it's just it made for some interesting racing, but the racing wasn't that flash from the World Superbikes. It was a pretty static event, all three races. So I think weather, tires played a big part in that as well.
Well, they had to swap tires like halfway through again, which
it doesn't add to the racing at all.
It doesn't for that. And it was a couple of factors. A lot of the riders were saying they didn't even need to do it. Like, they got resurfaced over a year ago.
Yeah.
They didn't need to really do it. And then you just got the Ducati Cup. The V4s obviously just dominated
every category at the moment.
And the racing just... Yeah, look, it was awesome to be down there. It was good to catch up.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a crazy good... races like Bulliger, to his credit, dominated and did the trifecta, which is great for him. But yeah, it wasn't anything insane.
I might go through some results just so we can
before you do that, shout out to our friends motoheaven.com.au. finally got it out. Still a heat stroke. It's got me real good. Literally as I'm doing that, Adrian from Motor Heaven sending me something. So
Beautiful. Buddy,
we're thinking of
hopefully a Thailand meme.
Head down to motorheaven.com.au and get all your motorcycle needs, parts, accessories, all the best brands. They are the best in the business.
They are. And I think we touched on this last week, but 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, guys, has been a big thing for us. And
we're going to be going hard on YouTube as well.
Yeah, YouTube's where it's at. So we appreciate that. We've got some awesome content going to be coming out for Thailand this weekend. So
we'll get into that later.
We will get into it later. But yeah, please like, subscribe. Means a lot to us. Anyone on who's followed our Patreon, we appreciate that as well. We've got an early access pod who we may have teased about 5 minutes ago that's actually uploaded on there. I haven't even seen it yet.
No, you haven't.
So you can watch it before I even watch it.
It's
one of the best from all reports.
It's probably the best podcast I've done. I would have to say it was so raw, emotional.
Yeah,
Man, it was
tears, laughs.
It was great. It was really, really good and very refreshing to hear a lot of things and a lot of things, like some a lot of controversies and MotoGP and everything like that, all coming out. So it was great listen, and I'm sure everyone would like it.
Yeah, 100%. All right, race one, Nicola Bulligart, number one. It was a common theme throughout the week, wasn't it? Top rack, Raz Gatlioglu.
Oh, jeez, nice.
Number two.
This is like unheard of, you doing World Superbike results.
Alvaro Bautista finishing off the podium. Dunlop Petrucci had a good race one, didn't he? In fourth place. Scott Redding, our boy, fifth. And rounding out the top six, Andrea Iannone.
Nice.
On an independent Ducati. I know it is a Ducati Cup, we understand all that, but he's doing well.
Yeah.
He's doing well. Super Pole, a bit of a different result. Nicola Bulligart first again.
Why do I call you Braxy?
Braxy, yeah. Braxy was... All right, sorry, Braxy, but it's time to give it up, I think. He struggled. What did he say, James?
He struggled hard. We love him.
We love Braxy, but maybe...
He thought the World Superbike guys were on Michelins. They haven't been on... They've been on Pirellis for like 20-something years.
Yeah. Andrea Iannone second. Petrucci third. Redding fourth. Sam Lowe's fifth. And Locatelli rounding up the top six. And then race two. Bulligart with the... Boogler with the triple. Alvaro Bautista second. That was a big effort from him coming through the field, wasn't it? Not talked about. Andrea Iannone third. Scott Redding fourth. Danilo Petrucci fifth. And Sam Lowe sixth. So very interesting weekend of racing. But yeah, the actual racing and races weren't the most exciting, unfortunately.
Do you think there was more or less people than last year?
I felt there was more people, but I don't know. I think the vibe was better last year. I felt like in the back of the pits, it was more, a bit more vibey.
Okay.
I think maybe it was the first time that I've gone down there and experienced it. So maybe it's always this different the second time. But I think they had 50,000 over the weekend. Man, $130 for a Sunday ticket for the Superbike.
Yeah, you've got to grow up with this.
Like, I just think that is a lot of money for a general admission seat. That doesn't include pit access. There's another $40 extra for pit access. I know it was a little bit cheaper if you pre-bought your tickets, but I'm thinking to myself, I'll go upstairs and say, hey, to my missus, let's go to the Superbikes on Sunday. All right, let's go down for the day. We'll ride down, sit down, watch it, maybe go in the back of the pits, and then come home. But it's going to cost me $340 to do that. $340.
That's crazy
like,
money.
That I could go to Crown Casino and have a night there.
Yeah.
You know, with breakfast and champagne and whatever else happens there. You know what I'm saying?
Excuse me?
I'm not going to get that if we're going to the Superbikes. Seriously. I'm not getting that.
Not with the old ags.
No, God no. So, like, I think that's a lot of money. And I don't know who dictates the prices. I don't know if it's Phillip Island Circuit or it's the Superbikes themselves. Because I know that the Phillip Island Circuit is the promoter of the event.
Yeah.
But for me, that's a lot of money. And I think to attract fans for that daily... that day trip down there, it's too expensive.
Well, look, I think you can justify the prices if there's more things to do there.
Well, there wasn't a lot.
There was nothing to do there.
And if you're not in the back of the pits with Michael Hill, I wouldn't go.
Nah, I'm probably with you. The thing is like, obviously, World Superbikes is your hardcore fans.
Yeah.
It's not like MotoGP in a sense. But like, you know, there was one or two food trucks outside the pits and only two food trucks in the pits and nothing, and like a little kid's bike thing, but there's nothing really going on.
No, there wasn't a lot to do around the track. I get the attractiveness of you can bring your bike along.
Yeah, which is awesome.
And I think that's why half the people might come down, to be honest. But for me, it's too much money. It's a big day out, $340 for two tickets. And I think they've got to look at doing something about that, because it's the pinpoint of getting up in that Sunday morning. Should we go or should we not? If it was $60-$70, you get 10,000 more people. So that's a big gripe for me. I think they really seriously have to look at that. It's more expensive than MotoGP.
You reckon?
Yes. MotoGP is not $130 to get in on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Definitely not. I think it's $180 for a 3-day ticket for the Superbikes, which I get. But that Sunday ticket at $130, it's just too much money.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. Is it because they raised it on that weekend?
Well, from all reports, it was cheaper if you pre-bought your ticket.
Yeah.
I don't know by how much, but this is the going around and chatting to the people around the circuit and talking to some of the fans and stuff, we crossed paths on the weekend. But yeah, I don't know. Just for me, I don't want to sound like a tight ass, but I just think it's to attract a new fan to the sport, maybe a father and son coming down. I mean, it's just too much money.
Well, in our new special guest episode, we actually go into that with World Superbikes and that's your prices.
Yeah, they have to look at it. I mean, it's interesting. We talk about this. It's a European Cup with a wild card race in Australia, isn't it?
So yeah, it's strange.
They need to go to Japan. They need to go to, I mean, even like, look at some of those Arabic countries or something that generate a bit of cash.
Bro, Southeast Asia. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely those Arabic countries.
But you notice you also get, you know, the diehard fans you spoke about, but you also get the guy that bought an S1000 two weeks ago and goes, oh, I want to see it. I want to see a superbike go around the track. You know, you get that fan as well.
Mm.
You get the MSR guys coming down. You get
there was a bit of them.
The Jelanis of the world, the Curtises of the world. That sort of, you know, they ride, they love bikes. They want to come and see it.
Yeah.
But they're not the old folk that sit down on a lounge chair and watch it for 3 days. Well, which
is a lot of people.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people there that are like that. But there was still some younger people, definitely more in the pits and probably more towards turn one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we saw, it was interesting. It was a cool vibe where we watched race two with Willie Nels. That was at bottom of MG, Lukey Heights area.
And
that
great spot.
That was pumping. And that's an unbelievable spot to watch a motorcycle. Yeah. And interesting looking at those bikes, you can see the difference between the MotoGP bike there and the Superbike. It just handles differently.
Yeah.
They try to stand that MotoGP bike up so fast through that corner where they take a bit of a different line with the Superbike. That was a really interesting thing for me as well.
Yeah, it's great because you can really see them pushing up towards that hill and then they still just rip it through turn 11.
Yeah.
Like it is insane. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That Honda, I think it wasn't Lekka, who crashed? I think it was Lekka Wona that hurt himself.
Yeah, so he was Javi Fierhe,
I think. That Honda was not stable. Every single lap of race two were there. It was almost bucking him out of the seat. It was a shit show.
It seems like MotoGP influence there is the same as Superbikes. It's going through like the Yamaha is struggling, but you know, obviously MotoGP is looking better this year. The Honda looks nowhere. Yeah. And Ducati dominating. I mean, it's the same sort of situation, isn't it?
I know, it's weird.
So, but those, we did a pit lane walk on Sunday, NPC Central.
Major NPC Central.
But it was interesting seeing the different fairings on the bike. That BMW had these massive, almost like a front wing of a Formula One car.
Yeah, well, that's
like
how they come. That's crazy.
Yeah. And then you look down and you look at the Ducati, which is probably a bit more streamlined. Probably don't have to do as try out as many different parts to go fast. But it was cool. It was an interesting day.
No, it was good. And it was fun running around doing all the stuff. Hopefully everyone enjoyed the
content. It was the content. We tried to do a little bit different this year and I think we got a positive result. Response out of it, I should say. So
definitely. Yeah. I just almost sent myself into an early grave and probably cost myself 20 years off my life. That's all right.
That's all right.
Anything for
if
the fans.
If you got 5 years
but
left then, that's fine. We're going to Thailand next week.
Yeah, well, I could die after Thailand.
True.
I can fucking die after Thailand.
And yeah, guys, we've got full media access for Thailand. So which we're stoked about. Thanks so much for Dorna for looking after us because we're going to be there. We're going to be in the back of the pits. We've got heaps of interviews lined up. Again, sorry, James. I know we're going to talk about this.
No, we can talk now. Okay.
Just excited. That's all. Yeah. We've got press officers we're going to team up with. We're going to go and do some interviews and we've got a lot of stuff planned.
A lot of videos. We'll do a lot of content like we did on our Insta stories.
I'm going to look like a bloody tomato, a rotten tomato, I think, by the Sunday, but it's going to be all worth it and going to be amazing.
How are you going to pull up being extremely hungover from the Saturday night onto the Sunday?
And then 38 degree heat. Yeah. You just got to drink that much fluids. Like, it'd be just electrolyte central. It's just going to have to
be. Do you reckon they've heard of electrolytes and Buram, though?
Bro, I'm going to have to bring some of those bloody liquid IVs with me or something because yeah, that's going to be the only, because you can't actually, because the amount of sweat that's going to be coming off you, you actually can't take enough water. Like, it's impossible. Like, you're sweating out. You know when you drink a 6-pack of beer, you piss out a 10-pack? You know that?
Really?
Yeah, you lose 4 beers worth of liquid.
Yeah, I guess
liquid.
It dehydrates you.
So you actually can't physically get those 4 back in. Like, it's impossible.
So what happens, and we'll have this filmed as well, just in case this happens, but for our vlog, we walk into our hotel room. Sharing a hotel room, so don't no funny business.
Yeah.
And the aircon doesn't work. Aircon's non-existent.
Well, I know it's going to be there because I've seen it in the photos, but if it's going to work and actually get down to a decent temperature.
It could be like a poster of an aircon, though, knowing the tie.
I haven't told you this, but you're going to laugh. I actually Googled hardware stores Buriram today. And I found I can buy a portable air conditioner from this hardware store for 3,000 baht, which is 140 Australian. So that's what I'll be doing.
Bro, that's like
140 bucks to be comfortable for 4 days. That's a no-brainer, man. Like, it's actually a no-brainer.
That's like 7 massages.
And then, and then I'm gonna take
everything's it, in massage currency.
And then I'll take it back to the guy on Monday and get my refund.
Oh my God, this poor guy's like just paid wages for 2 months and the big ogre comes in going, nah, it doesn't work. Sweating.
Do you want a store credit, mate? Nah, refund.
Please, my family.
Oh, fuck. I'm actually sweating thinking about it. Jesus.
Bro, your glasses are fogging up right now.
I mean, actually, it gets me nervous, bro, about the heat. It's
very
crazy.
PTSD. I was with your family the whole weekend. Yeah. They're freaking out about it.
Just to give everyone an idea, it's been 30 to 32 degrees every day in Buriram for the past month or two. On Wednesday, it shifts to the hot season and we're 37, 38, 39, 39, 39.
This is going to be like a real talking point, though, I think, with the riders.
Oh,
I actually think they could only do... I reckon they might only do this year.
Well, that's
I bet
thing.
You there's going to be a massive blowback about the
I'm
heat.
Talking to a lot of people about the event and the timing of the event. And it's very similar to Formula One Qatar last year. They put it in the wrong months. Like, they should have done this...
Guys, just want to say a massive shout out to our amazing sponsor, motoheaven.com.au. Now, Tom, I've actually had the privilege of going down to their store and seeing what they do. And the amount of packages that they send out and the amount of orders they have is they've got a streamlined process. It's awesome. We want to give them a massive shout out because they do same day dispatch or next day dispatch. They do all the biggest brands, Shoei, HJC, Alpine Stars, Dine Easy. They've got an amazing website, amazing parts finder. You can get all the parts for your bike as well. So get down to motoheaven.com.au and you can get all your needs for your motorcycles. And that's for Australia and New Zealand.
They should have probably gone couple of weeks earlier. And it shows that in the weather. Like, it does change. At the end of February, it changes in Thailand. It really does. It becomes a hot season and it's bloody hot. So
it's going to be a real issue. And like, we laugh about it, especially with you.
Yeah.
And like, if you're watching this, I'm burnt to the shit. And I'm sure you've seen all the... older Instagram stories, and like I absolutely copped it, and that was just in Phillip Islands.
Yeah.
But for the riders, like, think about it. You're on a prototype Ducati, which is already going to be 1,000 degrees. Mm. And then if you're a mid pack, you're behind like 4 different exhausts hanging off the bike. Yeah. So the exhaust is already on you, and then you're in just say 60 degree track temperature.
Yeah, and it's like saying to you, like, go outside and it's 40 degrees, go run around, and you're not going to have allowed any water for 45 minutes.
True.
So it's going to be like, it's going to be just a what do they call it?
Like a sauna.
Yeah, it's going to be like...
In leathers.
Oh, yeah, in kangaroo bloody skin, isn't it? Interesting going back to bloody our boy Scott already. He was wearing these different solid, never seen anything like it.
Yeah, they're like a polyester material or something. I forgot what they're called. I actually looked it up today.
Yeah, very interesting. Sorry, just off topic. But yeah, it's going to be a talking point and I think it's going to be a big thing for the week. And hopefully we don't get like reduced races, distances and stuff like that. That would be horrific for us. But safety for the riders obviously is paramount. So, but yeah, I mean, you think of these little kids on the Moto3 bikes and stuff as well. I mean, they wouldn't experience anything like this before.
Hopefully the MotoGP riders are a little bit acclimatized to it because I've done a bit of testing there in Malaysia.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the air conditioning inside their pit boxes and stuff would be world class, I'm assuming. It's a brand new facility.
How old is that track, you know, roughly?
6 years, I think.
Really, is that it?
Yeah.
That's how new it is.
Yeah, it's very new. Yeah. I mean, I think they started going there 5 years ago, so.
I'm excited just to see what the toilet situation's like because Phillip Islands, and like, you know me with going to the public toilets, I'm not a massive fan of public toilets.
It's going to be interesting. The back of the pits, and we should have probably asked Joey about that, what it's like, but we'll see. I mean, Phillip Island is known for the worst facilities in the world when it comes to MotoGP tracks. So,
what about the media center? What do you reckon that's going to be like?
Hopefully good. I mean, they probably don't give a shit about the media center, do they? It's like their last priority. But when they're building it, they probably care about all the facilities for the riders first. But we'll see.
I don't know, bro. I think they try and make everything as good as possible so they keep getting people back. Because journos is still a massive part of it all.
Well, yeah, hopefully the food and the drinks and the media. Good. Imagine they got Chang's in the fridge.
Bro, you wouldn't even leave there.
No, well, and just to give everyone context as well, we've got the media passes, but we also bought Marquez stand passes. which is on the last corner. So anyone who's interested in that, that's where we're going to be sitting.
And if anyone's actually going as well, hit us up.
Yeah.
There's 100%. Always heaps of Aussies there.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't heard from anyone who's going. So, no. I mean, it's a trek. I mean, you have to admit, it's a 10-hour flight. Then it's another hour flight. And then it's trying to find accommodation in a small little village town. It's not the easiest trip to go to. And look, with this new access we've got, I mean, the sky's the limit. I mean, we're going to do this vlog, and then, you know, we might be at Malaysia after Melbourne. Who knows? I mean, that could be another one we could go to.
Yeah, true.
Talking to everyone and talking to Willie Nels as well. Shout out. A couple of shout outs for Will. Apparently an amazing Grand Prix, Sepang. Amazing Grand Prix to go to, and the facilities are amazing, everything like that. So this could be the start of something great.
Well, we hope so. We want to do a lot of vlogging stuff now, especially after this first one, and then go from there. I'd love to go to Coda and go to do the American one. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, Coda would be insane. I mean, Jerez.
Bro, imagine trying to walk the Coda track. It'll take you 6 days. You have to camp halfway around.
True. I don't know what they do with it. It's like a 7-kilometer track, isn't it?
Well, it's American, so they're probably on them little rascals. You know, those little three-liter Walmart people. Like at the South Park.
They probably would. It's a long trek, by God. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, Mugello, I mean, anything like that. So, I mean, we're talking to Phil Ottle yesterday, and we were saying to him, he goes, "You got to go to Austria."
Yeah.
Got to go to Austria. He goes, "It's one of the best tracks. You can see everything. Camping's awesome." So, definitely, there's a few on the bucket list, that's for sure.
Would you camp at any of the tracks?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
You just got to do it right, man. Like, it's like anything.
Camper van is a way to go.
Yeah, camper van, 100%. Just park it. Yeah, you got aircon. that's the way to go, definitely.
Camper van's way. My old man did Mugello, and he said it was crazy, and like people had drones up in the air, and people were like trying to shoot fireworks at it and like shoot them down and stuff. Like, they're just nuts. There's so many stories of all that stuff though.
Oh yeah, I mean, the world, like, there's always these stories back in the good old days of craziness like that, but it still seems to happen in these European tracks, like that campground. And like, even like what Phil said yesterday, it was like, man, like, it is crazy there. And he wouldn't know half of it. Yeah. Same as, like, caught up with Damo Cudlin yesterday. He had some crazy stories about Le Mans 24-hour, the bike event. And he goes, the bike blew up after, 10 laps, and he went in the middle and just partied for 24 hours straight. He said it was insane. So, yeah.
So, what's it paying that a Ducati won't win the first round?
I don't know, man. I think it's always a surprise, though. That's the thing. Like,
first round in anything always throws up a wacky result.
The heat as well. Like, it's another aspect, talking about the weather. Who was fast? I mean, who was fast at Buriram? Honda was top five pace, wasn't it? Which is crazy.
But we don't know.
We don't know. The Yamaha probably looks stronger
Sepang.
At Sepang than it did Buriram. KTM's not going to win. So, I think it's a process of elimination. I still see a Ducati winning. Probably $1.20, I would say.
Nice. Lucky, but that was like Curtis trying to work out the price of the Dionysi Rossi leathers just then. The sports bet.
Well, it's true. And like with betting, it is a process of elimination. I mean, who's actually going to win? Because we don't see Yamaha, a KTM, a Honda winning. We've got Jorge Martin injured. Is Bez really up to winning a race? He might just throw a crazy result and do it. Who knows?
Bro, remember when we'll like...
Bez is probably my favorite.
Remember when we'll like... I think we might have been fresh 18, maybe younger. I think you were illegally betting. But you were betting on MotoGP and the weather just turned.
Yeah.
But before the sports bookie guys changed the odds, I think you put like some wet weather specialist. I can't remember who it was. It was fast.
Yeah, who was it? It wasn't Jack Miller. It was someone else.
I reckon it was even before that. Yeah. Before his time. And I think that you put in the podium and they podiumed. And you won some good money. Yeah, I just can't remember the rider. Who was it?
It wasn't Petrucci, was it? Or was that before that time?
I thought it was like De Puigne, but I don't really remember him as like a wet weather specialist. But it was someone that was like, nah, they're nowhere. Yeah, but nowhere. As soon as it rains and you must have obviously got it before the bookies. Then they podiumed. It was weird. I can't remember who it was. It was like, I reckon it was like 2012, 2013, 2014.
Yeah, they were a bit like lax back then. They're all over it now, that sort of thing. But yeah, I remember Formula One 2012, Sebastian Vettel was like, he lost three races in a row and he was like, just went shit ass. But I knew that Red Bull had this massive new car coming to Singapore and it was going to be like so much faster. But the bookies had him at like 30-1. And he was still winning the championship. I'm like, that's fucking so overs.
Yeah.
Overs sort of means like it's over the odds. It should be. And I put like 10 bucks and I won 400 bucks or something on him.
Fuck, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was Singapore 2012, if anyone remembers that race. So Hamilton retired on like the fifth lap and he won the race.
So is it, are they more onto it now?
They're all more onto it. And for me, like those sort of sports, everyone's on like, because they're more popular now. Like,
oh, that's it. Because yeah. Back then, like betting on MotoGP in Australia would have been...
Nah, and no one like who's controlling the odds at their like center. I don't know how it works, but like... They're not cluey about it. I bet you they got some guy who's just a motorsport geek there now.
Yeah. It has to be. Yeah. It's so big now as well. But I remember I'm just dying to know. What rider was it? It wasn't like a Vermeulen because it was too late for... It would have been too young for a Vermeulen.
Yeah.
But it was someone. It was some wet weather specialist.
Mm.
It was crazy.
I put a bet on... Who was the Tech 3? He was Zarco's teammate. And he got
Paul Spargo?
No. He was he came back like 2 years ago. He had like some mystery disease.
Jonas Folger?
Folger. Yeah. I put a bet on him to podium at Sachsenring. He was nowhere. He maybe finished second to Marquez.
Bro, that's right. Yeah.
He was nowhere all season. I'm like, oh, I like him. I liked him in qualifying. He was starting like eighth or something.
I thought he got like pole. Or close to it. Or front row.
Don't know. I forget. Anyway.
Marquez obviously won that one.
Marquez was toying with him that whole race. Like, you know what he used to do?
Yeah.
He used to go behind, stay there. He did that all those years. Yeah. Like, he was just like stalking his prey. And then the last three laps, bang. Will we see that again this year? Possibly.
I think so.
But you can't do that anymore. This new aero packages on these bikes. It's harder to do because you wear out the tires and overheat them and... Oh, James and I had this crazy story. We were sitting in Pino's probably 2015 and we're talking to Steve Martin, was it?
Mm.
And he was talking about tire temperatures.
Okay. I don't remember this.
And he goes, oh, you should see the tire temperature was 14 degrees high when he was following him. And that's the first time I've heard of that.
Oh.
And it wasn't a thing with MotoGP back 10 years ago.
Was it a thing of Formula One?
Massive thing.
Problem?
Big problem. Because you couldn't stay behind and it got overheating tires. And then it was the first time they talked about it in... MotoGP and I've ever heard of it. And then from there, it's just become such a big thing.
When did it really like rear its head though?
Oh, probably only 2021.
I was going to say.
2020, like no one really talked about it. And then the wings got bigger and all the downforce got more stronger. And that's what it changed for MotoGP for me. Because I don't remember in 2020 when Juan Mir won the championship, I don't remember it being a thing at all.
In 2020?
2020, yeah. Yeah.
Nah, I don't really remember it. But like that was just a weird, wacky year where the last thing you're thinking about was probably that. It was like all the other bullshit was going on.
It's when Ducati started dominating, I think, is when it started to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Because Ducati used to make wings where it would disturb the air even in qualifying with someone behind them.
Yeah. Well, that's what that whole wing at the back did. Like that was half the reason. Yeah, that's half the reason they had it.
And Honda don't even run it at the moment.
Yeah. Well, they got some big bloody... Lunchbox looking thing, yeah.
The bento box.
Bento box. Hopefully they're serving them at the media center. That'd be good.
Yeah, true.
Get a curry and rice, you know what I'm saying?
I'm pretty excited for that.
Yeah.
Very excited for that. But I don't know. It's going to be fascinating. It's kind of weird because I've like been thinking a lot about this first round. But I've been more concentrating on us than the actual racing.
Yeah.
But the biggest mystery is going to be Yamaha, because I think Yamaha is the one where we're going to find out in the first few rounds, but it's just going to be really interesting to see how those four bikes place.
What's going to be so fascinating is we're going to be sitting there, maybe in the media center, maybe to watching in Marquez stand and going, oh my God, I want the times. Where's the times? I need the times.
Yeah. Like for all practices. All of
it. We're going to be like glued to it. Yeah. And I remember being in the media center for Phillip Island on Friday. I remember everyone hovering around this TV to look at the times because it was practice. It was the second practice, practice qualifying, sorry. And like, it's going to be like that, but times 100 because everyone is so interested to see who's got the pace, who's got the real pace. And we'll see that. We'll see that on Friday afternoon for practice qualifying.
Yeah.
That's when we're going to really see who's got the real pace for that one lap. Then... Yeah, I mean, again, going back to this, we're sitting there on Sunday morning last week. Oh, yesterday, sorry.
Yeah.
And I'm like thinking to myself, James, how stupid were we ever questioning a sprint race, MotoGP?
Oh, bro, true.
And I'm thinking to myself, why are we questioning this? Like, we get to see a race in the Saturday and a race on the Sunday. Like, and that's something that obviously Superbikes has done for so many years. And it's just so much better.
So
it's better for the
much
weekend.
Better.
Like, we get a Saturday night race, a Sunday night race when you're watching it in the European rounds here. I mean, why did we ever think that was going to be bad?
And Friday night, like, is basically determining Q1, Q2, which is also really interesting as well.
Exciting the whole week. I remember sitting upstairs doing our podcast and was going around the table. Oh, what do we reckon? Like, is it going to affect the racing? Is it going to...
And we were all like,
oh, no. I mean, it's going to be nice. But like, yeah, we're going to lose that little bit from a Sunday. Yeah. We haven't.
Just about everyone has admitted I was wrong. Because like,
yeah,
so many people that, you know, have either raced or in the media for it have said, you know, I didn't like it, I'm a traditionalist, whatever. But like, the sprint races have been awesome. And the sprint races have actually saved some Grand Prix. Like, I think Sepang might have been a good example where the sprint race was quite good and then had an absolute snooze fest of an actual round, you know?
And so, if you've spent the money and you're going to the track and you're going for the whole weekend...
Saturday's the day, bro.
Saturday's the day, but you also like... And you see a boring race on the Sunday, you're like thinking in the back of your mind, well, at least I saw some action yesterday.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing. You can go away from the weekend going, God, I saw some great race on Saturday. Sunday was still fascinating, but, you know, I had that joy and that battle for the lead yesterday. I'm content, you know?
And you look at Sepang this year, the sprint race is basically where Bagnaia lost the title.
Yeah.
He basically lost the title in the sprint race because he went down in the famous Aigura corner.
Aigura corner, yeah.
He did an Aigura, unbelievable. And realistically, as soon as he crashed, he was, you know, 22 points down or whatever it was. And that was...
GG.
That was, yeah.
Game over. So, yeah, it's... Yeah, I said that to you yesterday. I said, why do we ever think it was going to be a bad thing? Because it just adds, and especially for superbikes, man, if you tried to drag people there on a Saturday to watch qualifying, no one would go. Like,
well, that's it. Because they used to do both races on the Sunday, yeah, which I like, but the format is better now. And it's good as well because, you know, you might get a dry race on a Saturday and a wet race on a Sunday or vice versa, yeah, which is good. So you can see best of both worlds. You know what's funny going into Thailand? We've been messaging all the press officers and we've spoken to Tech3 KDM. And they're like, you want to meet some of the riders? And we're like, oh, I don't know if one of them's really... It's like we walk into the box. Hey, Mav, fuck off.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're talking to Herve Podchales. I think it's his daughter who runs the press. And she goes, oh, yeah, do you want to... And we're like, oh, we'll come and have a tour with Herve if that's okay.
He walks in, we're sitting on his bike.
Oh, my God.
Bro, you'll freak. Fraud.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know what, though? Let's rekindle.
I'll reach out the Olive Branch.
Yeah, let's do it. And we'll have a chat to him and... Nothing like him. We'll get him straight off the bike after a 40-degree practice session.
When he's crashed six times.
Yeah, we'll go, hey, mate, hey, you go. Remember us?
You see power rankings?
Motorsport Republic, oh, yeah. Oh, you guys. But it's funny, talking to some of the riders, not naming any names. But yeah, he is one of the kind of dudes who throws the toys out of the basket. And we've seen that in the past. Yamaha, yeah, revving the bike, all that kind of stuff.
We've all known that for years, though.
But he's got like...
That's hilarious.
But somehow, some way, once a year, he brings the magic and...
He lures you in
and either goes really well in a Grand Prix, wins a Grand Prix, gets a pole position, something like that. And then, we'll see if he can do it this year. It's not looking too good. It's looking less struggle in the Tech 3 team. Probably, yeah, not a lot of funding from KDM. And poor Tech 3 as well. Like, they've, you know, that's an independent team.
Yeah.
And they've got a bike that they don't know where they're going to be running next year or what the future holds.
Well, imagine if KDM pulls out. I wonder what Tech 3 would do. Like, would they just say, like, would Honda want to put six bikes on the grid? Or, you know, does Ducati save
the
day again?
Go back to Yamaha.
Yeah, does Yamaha want to put six on the grid?
Yeah.
Like,
well, if Yamaha's a good year, and look, we're hearing a lot of reports from a lot of different people, and shout out to, we met, was it Cam?
Cam? Yeah.
And he had a really good insight.
With Remy Gardner stuff and his kids?
Jack Miller, he said the reason why Yamaha got Jack Miller is his knowledge of the electronics.
Yeah.
I was talking to Cam today, and he said that was a big reason, and when he's come onto this bike... He's gone from the Sepang test to the Buriram test. He's changed everything, And that's how Quartararo is looking so speedy. So, the end of year test to the Sepang test and how they've turned everything around. And that's a big reason. So there has to be a reason because the bike has virtually stayed very similar and they've got a 1.5 seconds quicker year to year, which is a huge leap.
Well, it's interesting because they've brought so much knowledge. Jack Miller's brought a lot of knowledge from obviously KTM and Ducati, good or bad. And same with Miguel Oliveira's come from, I guess, KTM and Aprilia. So there's just, at least there's some different avenues of what they think, you know, would help inject into Yamaha. But
Jack's been on every single bike except an Aprilia, hasn't he? Realistically.
Yeah, he's been on a Honda.
So it's he'd have a wealth of knowledge. And look, he's got some talent. We know that. Yeah, he's rough on the tyres and all that kind of thing.
But was that a KTM thing?
It could have been a KTM thing.
Because they're still destroying tyres without him.
Yeah. So let's see. Let's see how he goes. And a lot of people are saying he's going to be the second fastest bike on the grid, Yamaha on the grid next year, and could be up to that factory seat if he performs. But we'll wait and see.
That's going to be a hard, very hard seat to grab. Because I don't think Rins is going to... I think he's just going to last out and do his thing.
What a waste of talent he's been in MotoGP.
Bro, talking about injuries...
He had his chance in 2020 though, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's on the bike.
Him and Quartararo both threw it down the road. Both in 2020, and then I think Quartararo won 2021. But talking about injuries, I saw a dude who was working for like Kawasaki World Superbikes. He's obviously an ex-racer.
You'd hope so.
His legs were like... bent out. Yeah. He could hardly walk. It was like Johnny Hopkins time.
How old was this fella?
Oh, he'd be in his 60s, I reckon.
Yeah, you got to remember, back like in probably the 80s and the 90s, they don't have the same... They wouldn't have had the same procedures and things. So he probably just glued everyone back together back then.
No proper protection.
Yeah.
And then like it was probably just going into guardrails. Even in the 90s, it was not much. 80s, definitely not. And 70s.
Speaking of guardrails, shout out to your boy, Ollie Short.
Oh, bro.
I don't know if anyone's seen the footage. Ollie Short in the ASBK 300s somehow wound up hitting the concrete barrier on the pit straight.
Yeah.
On the inside. I've never seen a bike there in the history of watching motorsport there. Yeah. I've never even seen a car into that wall. And he walked away. I don't know if he's walked away on skate. No,
nah, he's got a broken leg.
Broken leg? He's walked away with a skate. He hasn't walked away.
Has not walked away. So, and I was chatting to him the day before. So, speedy recovery to him.
100%. Oh, yeah.
That was a scary. And that just shows you how dangerous motorcycle riding
is. And look, broken leg, yes, terrible. But my friend, that could have been a hell of a lot worse. Getting tangled up in that catch fencing or anything like that, concrete walls. You don't know what could have happened.
Bro, remember, we're watching the 600s, the Aussie 600s, and their racing has been awesome. It was awesome that weekend. But how close, I remember we're watching Bramage.
Yeah.
And I think it might have been Archie McDonald, and they're all fighting, and Mahaffey, and they're all fighting for coming out of turn 12, and they were so close to each other's rear tire. Yeah, I was like, bro.
And you see them, you see some of them come to turn 12 sort of on the inside line, and they sort of meet in the middle.
Yeah.
And then they realize, oh, I'm about to hit. And then it is crazy. Watching it from the top of the pits is it's an interesting point of when they come around the corner.
And shout out to Jack Mahaffey. He got two P2s and a P1 over the weekend in the Aussie Superbike, six Super Sport 600s.
Tommy Bramage had a great weekend. Unfortunately, crashed with half a lap to go in the last race on Sunday. But he had a great weekend as well.
They're our boys in the paddock.
Yeah, Tommy and Jack, thanks, boys.
And the Bramiches on Saturday.
The Bramiches from Beaconsfield, mate. They got a few pigs in the hen down there. Benny Boy and the other one,
Richie Vogue.
Richie, steal your girl sort of situation. it was funny, but yeah, it was a great night. Saturday night at the pub, we had a boy, met a few people, so it was really, really good. Just much more civilized than MotoGP weekend.
Yeah, much we still civilized. Had a few shots bought for us though. Sepsi, a couple of tequila shots.
Yeah, thanks, Sepsi.
So what was the let's list what we actually drank that night. So there was
the tip is when they say don't if you want to feel good the next day, don't mix your drinks. Okay? They say stay on one drink.
Yeah. Stay on one drink. And that's sensible, isn't it?
It's sensible. So what was it? Two different types of beer.
So we had a stout and a Peroni. A glass of red, I should say. We had a bottle,
or
a couple
four
bottles.
Yeah.
Then we had shots of tequila. Then it was vodka.
Yep.
And then whiskey.
Yeah.
Six. Six different types. Yeah. That was me after being up for like 16 hours longer, being in the heat with heat stroke, immensely dehydrated.
Yeah. I woke up dusty on Sunday, but as soon as you hit that track and hear the bikes and stuff, you just snap out of it, don't you?
Well,
except last Sunday at MotoGP. It took me a while to snap myself out of it.
Nah, bro. I'm telling you, it's getting worse. Yeah. Like when we were 18 or like 16 or whatever, and we'd get up and like no matter if we've had 2 hours sleep,
we're up.
Bang, let's go. We're at the track at 8 a.m. and now we're like cooked.
Yeah, I just remember coming home and we probably didn't drink the same amount back then as we do now, in a volume of liquid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean though? If I had three, I got to my parents' place because my parents lived down at Phillip Island. We got there at 6 o'clock and I drank four beers before we went out.
Yeah.
You know, if I drank four beers when I was that age, I would have been fucking stumbling out the door.
But last year at MotoGP, you found out that there was free beers with our boys Bramich and Mahaffey, and your jaw hit the ground. And I think I saw you skull. And this is no word of a lie. He found out there was free piss, and for some reason in his mind, he thinks that he can't do it and he has to rush all the beers, which doesn't make any sense because it's free beers. I watched you skull three beers, I would say within 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense because for some reason, in the back of my thing, I'm going to get cut off. Like, this doesn't make
sense. Yeah, or like you're going to get caught, like you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. So you got to order two at a time. You got to order two at a time. But
I think you had three.
Choco, Choco, what's his last name?
I'm not saying it. Just keep going with
Choco,
your story.
Choco said he was God's gift to drinking, and he carked it that night, so he couldn't handle
it. Oh, Chocky Neal. Yeah. Double black.
What do you think I was talking about? Don't worry Carl about Cox
it.
Or something?
Nah, don't worry about it.
Not Carl Cox.
I want him on the pod, Carl Cox.
He lives 6 months of the year, like Warrandyte or something. Didn't you hear what Bramish was saying?
Buddy, everyone lives in Warrandyte, but he races who's who racer. We should hit him up.
Oh, we definitely. We'll message him tonight.
Yeah, true. Get him on the pod. He would have an interesting story, bro. How the hell is he into racing?
I don't know.
And he's had I think he's had BSB teams. I think he helps out with our boy Bramich. He does drag racing, I think. He does a lot of stuff. Loves MotoGP. Loves all the British stuff. It's
just
awesome.
Interesting how he must have just... Look, he doesn't look like the kind of dude that would go and sponsor an ASBK team. Like, he just doesn't look like that kind of dude. And from where he's
not
come from...
Not in Australia, anyway.
Yeah, and he's like a DJ. DJ's in Greece and...
He's an animal.
Ibiza and all sorts of places. And, like, he's huge. Like...
Bro, huge.
Huge. And,
You'll watch a European round and it's like Carl Cox presenting the trophy. It happens all the time.
Yeah. And superbikes. Like, it's not MotoGP. He's not following, like, the fan MotoGP thing. He's got a superbikes. Crazy. Which is like the, you know, like the real fans.
But it's cool because he's the kind of guy that's, like... getting into grassroots as well.
Yeah.
With the Aussie stuff.
Like, how are we not throwing that through?
He does not have to do anything like that.
Yeah, I need to get him on the blower. Yeah. If anyone knows Carl, tell him to reach out. We'll message him on Instagram. So
yeah, 100%. You're right there, mate. Jesus.
Sorry, I'm just gonna see if he's got Instagram and stuff.
Obviously he's got fucking
2.3 million.
Oh bro, we're gonna get him going.
Yeah, done. Drag race. He races drag races. Jesus. Carl Cox. Get him going.
But I've heard about him and GP for like 15 years now, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been a thing. Just he pops up. He pops up. And he's popped up at Formula One races before as well.
Oh, has he? Remember Michael Jordan? He had a AMA Superbikes team.
Yeah. It's cool.
And it had a big Jordan logo on the side of it. I don't think it did that well.
I just don't know how these guys, like it must be... How they get to that point where he couldn't... Does he watch the sport and goes, I want a team?
I think so, bro.
Does one of his mates go, you should invest in this? Like, how does it happen? We'll ask Carl Cox.
We'll ask him. But, like, I want to get so big that we have our own team.
Yeah.
Do you know how cool that would be to have our own team? It would probably be so stressful, but... Yeah. Imagine having our faces on the side of a fairing. That'd be hilarious, bro. It just wouldn't make any sense. I'll just pretend like I know what I'm doing. Like when everyone... It's like when we saw that sweet RG500 Schwanz replica at Superbikes. And everyone's like looking around it. Pretending like they know what they're looking at,
what
bro.
Are you looking at?
You don't know what you're looking at. Yeah. Stop looking at those microscopic bits. You don't know. It's just because your dad did it. You're going to copy him.
That's NPC.
Bro, it's a major NPC.
And we all do it though. We all do it.
I did it. I was looking at the carby like, oh, yeah, nice carby. Oh, yeah, I like that fuel tap.
I didn't even know it was a carby. I wasn't even looking at it.
Yeah,
I didn't
fuel
even know
injected, bro.
I didn't even know what I was looking at.
Yeah, diesel engine.
I was like, oh, yeah, turbo.
Oh, it's Pepsi logo. Fuck yeah.
It's like I sell cars, if anyone doesn't know, and I get people going, oh, can you pop the bonnet of a Kia? What are you fucking going to look under a bonnet of a Kia?
I know. We're going to put the wiper fluid in.
Yeah, I just don't understand it. Like, it's a 2-litre normal engine. It's not a V8. You know? There's nothing cool about it.
Do people do that for the EVs?
Yeah, but the front's like a... You got a... like a what do they
it's
call
like
it?
A space.
It's a frunk, they call it. So it's like a boot at the front. There's actually... You can't see anything.
Can you see the batteries?
No. Batteries line the bottom of the car. Yeah. So...
Do you think talking about EVs is a good segue? That Moto E will ever do anything?
Yeah, I think so. I think it will. It's... I think there's definitely a thing for electric bikes. Like, we were down there, Philip Island, off topic again, but I'm thinking next year I'll just buy an electric bike to bring down, because there's no fuel, there's no like oil leaking, you can chuck it in the back of your car.
Did you see one electric bike down there?
No.
Yeah, no. That's...
But I'm not saying I don't care if it's cool or not. I'm just saying like that would be so much easier.
But what I'm saying, true.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is there a future for Moto E electric racing?
Well, it's funny. I was reading today. There's a bike that China's brought out. I think it's CF Moto or one of those Chinese brands.
CCP.
Possibly. And you rev the throttle. CCP.
He finally got it. It's not the brand of the bike, bro. It's the fucking communists.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. When you rev the throttle, there's like a little speaker in the exhaust. Goes,
oh my God, that's so gay.
But it is. But I'm saying like it will bring a new sort of fan to the thing. And it's like I work with these EV things, man. There's a lot of nerds out there, you know, that love this shit.
Yeah, but
it's not for racing. It's hard because like Formula E for me is it's not as exciting. But they get fans. Like there's a lot of people that go to those events. And I think a Formula E event at like Phillip Island, we're speaking about this, would be a cool thing to go. And I think people would rock up and see it.
Yeah. I bet. Like,
they wouldn't have enough energy in Phillip Island to like charge the cars.
Nah. It'd blow a fuse. It'd blow the main fuse. It takes a strong wind to blow to pull the power out of Phillip Island.
There's only one wire that crosses over there.
It is.
To the island, yeah. One wire, Chris. One wire. You say yelling at my dad on Saturday night. One wire.
Oh, I had my face right up in his face, spitting into his mouth.
Dambi style.
But I don't know. I just don't see. I don't see a future yet for it. It's only there. Obviously, people only go to it because of it's at the MotoGP races. It's like a select 7 rounds or whatever.
Yeah.
But electric bikes, I don't think are there yet. You don't see them. You just don't see them. I saw one actually. I've only seen one coming to a podcast once in Melbourne. But it's like for a racing spectacle, I guess there's two ways to think of it. You know, Moto 3 is only small little engines.
Yeah.
As long as the racing's good, it doesn't really matter. But I think the sound is always a massive thing.
Yeah, I think so. And it's interesting. Like, I wonder if hybrid will ever become a thing in bikes. I mean, it doesn't really need to because the fuel economy of these things is still amazing. But to get that extra bit of power, you know, hybrid might become a thing. That's what's happening. Like, you look at every Ferrari or BMW or those premium cars coming out, all got hybrid powertrains. It's like a performance thing now.
Well, so, you know what's slowly taking off, especially in the States? And I think they're legalizing them to race in the American championships is like those Starks, the electric dirt bikes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've seen them. And they're becoming a real thing over there. And like... the power. There's pro racers that ride those Starks, and you can obviously limit the power on them. There's all these different, and they go like the full mode they can't even handle. Like they're so powerful, those things. And there was actually a guy, Teddy Blazusiak, you hardcore fans will know who he is, but he's an enduro rider. He actually raced for, I believe it was Stark in their new enduro bike. And you know how enduro, well, electric bikes, how they're normally like they're on or off, like it's instant power.
It's not
usable power. Like you ride a 300, you know it's a linear.
Yeah.
Or a 350, it's linear. He was doing, you know, that like enduro cross where they indoors and they go over logs and water or whatever. He was doing that, and he like just blipped the throttle, and the bike just shot out under him and then hit someone else.
Fuck.
And he cancelled the contract. He said, "I'm not riding for him anymore. That's it. I'm done." I wonder if it was really bad press for that bike.
Will we ever see them against like real dirt bikes in a race.
I think it's coming up really soon.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I think it's just a stigma. And look,
most you've really changed your tune on this.
Most of our fans are going to be like, "Oh, Tom, like no one's ever getting to know Moto E's fucking gay and all this. Like you need the sound, blah, blah, blah." But there are a certain person out there that would enjoy it or like the technology.
Okay,
like,
let me pose this question to you then: if how much does the sound diminish your weekend at MotoGP? If there's it's all e-bikes?
No, I'm not going to an event that has all e-bikes. Moto E would never survive by itself.
That's what I'm saying. So just say no. MotoGP, Moto 2, Moto 3 were all e.
No. That'd never happen. It never happened.
But if just say it happens.
We're not going.
Hillary Clinton wins. Kamala Harris wins the next 6 elections. Yeah. She's a new...
go.
What's the word when they're like constantly in power?
The dictator.
A dictator. She's a new dictator.
Yep.
And she goes, "All right, every man has to chop their penis off and we've got all got to race electric."
Well, then we wouldn't be going, would we?
You wouldn't go?
Nah. No way.
Trump saved us, mate.
He has in many ways. But I think Moto E... Yeah, I mean, let's... Like, first of all, it needs to become a world championship where it goes to every round. But like, bro, we're not gonna watch it. Like,
I don't watch Moto E. I won't lie to the fans. No. I do not watch Moto E.
No, but yeah, it's all about like the hardcore races. Is all about the sound, the petrol, and everything like that, isn't it? So,
I think so. And I guess it's more relatable.
Yeah, exactly. Growing up with it and everything like that. I mean, who knows? We're gonna be in 20, 30 years. EV might not be the answer for car technology either. It could be another metal or another something they're working on that could be the new answer, because nothing's the answer with, you know, you charge a car, you still have to burn coal to charge a car. So how is that helping the environment? You know what I mean? So, and we all know that you can't store these batteries anywhere. You can't get rid of them. It's just going to stockpile everywhere. Like there's no answer to this problem. So.
Oh, yeah, we're really fixing the world's problems, aren't we?
One day at a time, baby.
That's what we do.
V8 supercars came back.
Oh, yeah, you talk to me about this. We're taking everyone on a journey this episode.
Bro, V8 supercars were back and...
Look, Eastern Creek?
Yeah, City Motorsport Park, aka. One of the best races in about 10 years, they were saying. So, yeah. It's an unbelievable wet, dry track that was coming up. And then you had the Brock Feeney Waters and Will Brown fighting out for the win. And Waters got it done. So, he got pushed. He got pushed out, span out with like 4 laps to go, came back on his tail. Then Brock Feeney sort of redressed, came back. They're all together. And then Waters sort of touched his rear wheel on the last corner, got up the inside, and then passed him on with meters to go.
Boom, baby.
So really interesting. And I haven't watched the race because we just haven't had time. But yeah, apparently that race 3 on the Sunday night was one to remember. So
talk to me about this new championship.
I haven't got all the facts.
Okay. What do you know?
It's going to be a sprint race cup, and then we've got the Enduro Cup, and then you earn points in both those cups to then get to the 3 last finals, which is going to be, I think, Adelaide, Sandown, and like Ipswich or something.
And it's only a select amount of cars, like NASCAR, roughly?
They all race in it, but only a certain amount of cars can win the championship.
And what's the point of the other cars being there?
Don't know. That's the point. They can still win the race, but they just don't earn championship points.
Weird, man.
Yeah. So whoever gets into that, and look, I'm paraphrasing here. I might not be right on it, but you get a certain amount of drivers can win the championship going into those last 3 races, and then they go back to 0 points, and they fight it out to win the championship.
Okay, what about this? And this is a crazy idea.
Go on.
You have, just say, 15 rounds, 25 points the winner, 22 points for second, 20 for third, 18 for third, all the way down.
Yep.
And you just calculate the points at the end of the year to win the championship.
It sounds fucking easy and better, doesn't it? I mean, if you win a VIN Supercars race, you get 1,250 points or something.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. You get 1,250 points, a hand job, and a hot dog.
Yeah, it's like, Win Cup goes to this with a 3,000 point lead. We're like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, that means nothing.
We don't know how many points. Like, every race should just be 25 points, like it is in Formula One. Like
any decent motorsport.
Maybe make Bathurst 50 points.
Just not even, bro. Like, just 20, a flat 25 yeah, points.
I agree. And look.
And the Enduro series is awesome.
Yeah, it is.
You increase the points. Maybe you're right. Maybe you increase the points for the Enduro series because you've got two drivers. But you just have a normal winner. You do a great round, whatever the last round you want to make it, like a night race at Eastern Creek or something.
Adelaide's good as the last round.
Oh, Adelaide? Yeah, that's a great track. But you don't have to make it so complicated. It's like F1 when they did double points or whatever it was in Brazil.
Never works.
This shit never works.
No, it never does. Who knows? And NASCAR's been an uproar because they've gone to that for their series. But yeah, I don't know, man. It's the crowds were down again at Sydney Motorsport Park. They're doing everything they can. They had a race on Friday.
They had a great racing though.
Well, that was great racing. And that might bring people to the next round, which will be Australia. I'm sorry, in Melbourne for the F1s, I'm assuming. So
in the NASCAR, I remember you watching a doco ages ago talking about the final series.
Yeah, but they've
been doing that for a while, haven't they?
Oh, I think not a while. I think...
Oh, is this fairly new, is it?
Yeah, 3 to 4 years.
Oh, maybe? Really? Is that all?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was been going on for like 20 years.
No, and they... Yeah, it was sort of like... And I think... There was a reduced field though, and then they didn't do the reduced field or something along the lines of that. Because like going and watching it and seeing five guys race, like cars, remember there was like the final three countdown? They were racing out for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But NASCAR's kind of even more ridiculous because there's an element of luck, slipstream. It's an oval race. So like, you know, there's an element of like you can just be in the right spot at the right time. Where if it's a normal 80 lap late race, there's so many things that can happen. Skill takes over. Passing, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, who knows, man? It could work out well. We have to judge it after it happens. Like the sprint race, man. Like it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, we were all not shit-canning it. Like we're interested by it, but like it could be like a really cool end of the season and let's see what happens. Like I don't like shit-canning things when I haven't seen them yet. Let's wait for them to happen and then we'll be the first to judge harshly.
And then we'll really beat them down.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you excited most about going to Thailand, mate?
Man, I think like, and we've spoken about this the last couple of weeks, we've worked bloody hard the last couple of years to get where we are now. And it's a big reward for us.
Yeah.
Media Pass has been incredible. Man, I can't wait getting there the Friday, walking in. Yeah, it's going to be stinking hot, but just seeing it, like we've never been to an international race before.
Mm.
Like I've never been anywhere outside of, Albert Park or Phillip Island.
Yeah.
Like I've never been to another racetrack. Like, I mean, I've been to Sandown, but I've never seen cars drive around there, you know? So for me, it's going to be a crazy experience seeing a permanent racetrack with new facilities, grandstands, like, because obviously Albert Park being a street circuit and then Phillip Island being a really old style circuit. It's going to be a real interesting eye opener. I'm super excited to get that a hotel for the first time, see what it's actually like, because it's going to be dog shit. I think in town, Burian will be a vibe. I mean, what about yourself?
I can't wait to vlog everything and show the content.
I'm
all about content, obviously, and I think it's going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
Like seeing the hotel for the first time, getting all our reactions and showing you guys, like, you know, everything to do with Thailand, a lot of behind the scenes stuff, a lot of nightlife stuff. And just seeing our reaction for the first time and getting it all out.
Are we vlogging at the track and at the...
I think so.
Oh, yeah, we are.
I think so. I think we got it, bro.
Yeah.
We might have to turn the camera off at some point.
No, the unedited version will be on Patreon, so subscribe to that. goodness. Yeah, it's going to be awesome, man.
It's going to be dangerous. But I cannot wait for that. And that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going with a great group of guys.
Yeah.
All massive bike people.
Yeah, like all ways of life, all age groups. Like the six of us are all different. Maddie's a bit younger. We've got Adrian and Mark, a bit older than us. And then we've got the older States and Danby. Who knows? He could be either 40 or... 80. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Oh, he's had a hard life and he's like 27.
He's like Barack Obama. Give me your birth certificate. I need your birth certificate.
Nigeria.
So yeah, it's gonna be insane. So the next time you'll see us, we're gonna be dropping a podcast on the Monday. Oh yeah, actually you'll see us all over Instagram, but podcast wise, we're gonna be dropping a podcast on the Monday.
Well, we hope so.
Morning. We'll be recording it at least.
Yeah.
And then getting it up is going to be the challenge. Who knows what the internet's going to be like. We'll probably get to the airport early. to fly back and try to get it uploaded before we go.
If it's a day or two late, we're sorry.
Yeah.
And we'll let you know. We'll let you know on the in all the socials. We just don't know what the internet's going
to
be.
We need someone
like.
To donate us a Starlink we can bring with us.
Yeah, yeah. Elon Musk is listening. Give us a Starlink, seriously. Yeah. But that's just going to be the one issue. But other than that, it's going to be really exciting.
So exciting.
And it was really cool at Superbikes. Everyone was super excited for us. We were chatting to a lot of people.
Bro, that was the one thing. And we said that, like, the amount of people that come up to us going, you're going to Thailand next week. How exciting. Yeah. Like, we're excited. The content's going to be amazing. It's going to be incredible. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. All right, mate.
World famous.
World famous.
Hot takes.
What do we got? Let me get it going, dog. Let me get my favorites.
Go on, Dan's.
Hang on. Bro, this new photos thing is so annoying.
Doesn't like an update, James. Doesn't like change.
I don't. This is... What the
fuck
is this?
Go.
Bro, like, I'm...
Go.
Fucking struggling here. Why is my phone playing? Hang on. This is just...
Do you want me to have a look for you, or...?
Nah. All right.
Why are you so far back?
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah, because you edited... You screenshotted these, gotcha.
Yeah. All right, at NikkiD3604, old trusty, who on satellite teams this year will move to factory teams next year?
Interesting. So satellite teams are Grassini.
VR46.
Only one of them.
Yeah, still a satellite team.
There's four KTMs, there's four Yamahas, there's four Aprilias. What's the other satellite team?
Honda.
But they
LCR.
But an LCR really running 24 bikes?
Yeah, but it's still a satellite team.
Yeah, okay. So what is the question then?
So who are from a satellite team, so let's just say an LCR or Grassini is going to go to a factory team. So like Aprilia or HRC. You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say Zarco. I reckon he's going to impress so much, he's going to go into an HRC spot.
Oh, which rider are you saying? Sorry. Yeah. I'm thinking like, what is that? Doesn't make sense. I thought you were saying, the Grassinis will go to 26 bikes.
No.
Sorry. We'll edit that one out. I think Jack Miller for me, if he has a good season.
Okay. So he's your pick?
He's my pick. He's going to be, if he has a really good season, he's going to be a really good development horse for Quartararo going to that new bike in 27. See what happens.
I like it. That's two very different picks from us too, Zarco and Jack Miller.
Yeah. But I wouldn't have said that before testing for Jack Miller, but I've got high hopes for him.
Is he frauding you? Is that what he's doing?
No. Because we didn't expect much from him, but yeah, you know what I mean.
B_Rothberg, neither Pecco Martin or Marc Marquez will win in Thailand.
Yeah, okay. So that's what you're... I think that's what you're thinking deep down for some weird reason. I've got Bezzecchi, I think, to win.
You got Bez to win?
I think so. I got a feeling.
Bro, that would be massive. Yeah, That'd be a massive win.
Crystal ball.
Is this a crystal ball moment?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't stop getting it out of my head.
Crystal balls.
I can't get it out of my head. I just have a weird feeling that he's going to win. Like it's a weird result. He's on a brand new bike. And look, I reckon he's win and then he will do nothing the next few rounds.
Bro, that's ultimate fraud.
Mm.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. So you're putting him on your your Buriram prediction.
We got to do our predictions as well.
Yeah, I know. Wow. I'm going to get everyone up tomorrow.
Wow.
All right, I like that. I think either Pecco, Martin. I think it's either Pecco or Mark to win it, to be honest. But I love Bez. That's a great answer. That's Chris Sepsi.
Hey!
Tequila. Fun fact. 16th is Rossi's B-Day, 17th is Michael Jordan's birthday, and the 18th is Marc Marquez's birthday, all in February.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Wonder what 9 months ago is. Was it like Easter time, probably?
Yeah, I don't
know. What's going on there, eh?
Well, they're all doing something.
Yeah.
Math isn't my strong suit. At Benzanguinzo, 11. Simoncelli Marquez could have been the greatest rivalry ever. From fellow stepsis countrymen. So from a Portuguese man.
Interesting.
Anya, mate. Thanks for listening all the way out there.
Yeah, I wonder if that would have changed the course of history with Rossi's career as well, if Simoncelli was still around. I wonder if it might have been a handing of the baton sort of situation.
That's a great call.
Because we're talking Like Rossi was still at the prime, his prime position.
Ducati. He was on a Ducati, yeah, 2011, 2012.
He came back in Yamaha, won 25th. What, no, he didn't.
No,
he
never won a,
he never won a championship after that. Yeah, but he had a chance in 15, didn't he? Yeah. So yeah, he it could have changed the course of history. It could have been a those two versus Marquez at that point, which would have been even crazier. Or who knows? Who knows what happened? It's yeah.
You just will never know.
We'll never know.
At Superbike R1M,
Shout out! Yeah, thanks.
Big Superbike fan of the pod.
He sold the R1, but he's got to change the name. Change it to a Superbike Avali.
Yeah, true. It's a good one, yeah. Superbike Avali. Can James please do a top five of the shitter / Gabo bikes? CBR 500 and Aprilia 660.
Yeah, we were talking about this, didn't we?
Yeah. And and funny enough, I actually owned the CBR 500. It was my first bike. So I know how Gabo it is.
Yep.
But in the next three, you're going to be... I'm going to put the R7 in there, the new R7, because it's just full
who's
of Gabo.
Buying that? Who's buying that bike?
Bro, everyone. All the MSR riders. It's like the most popular bike.
God, it's just so boring to me. It's going so boring. It's a character.
It's an MCO7 with a sports bike.
Yeah.
Everyone's got one, so it's Gabo. I'm going to go all the Ninja series, a super gay. I'm going to say like Ninja 300, 400. The 650 looks like it looks like you're riding on horseback. and the last one is... That's a good call. What's the last one going to be? I'm going to have to go again, Yamaha. I'm sorry, the MT-07. Like, still super Gabo with the R7. Really?
Honestly, I don't mind the MT-07. So.
Nah, lame as... And you know, okay, let's flip it. I think a cool learner bike, and people will appreciate this, is the CB400. It's a VTEC, bro. It's fucking VTEC.
Mm.
Is a cool learner bike, and maybe like an old school like RS. Okay, that's a crazy answer, but like the old RS250, Aprilia two strokes, obviously.
So a few of those getting around.
Yep.
On Phillip Island. Yeah,
and maybe even like a cool XJ6, because the XJ6s are an R6 motor that just got like a throttle stop on it. Mm. You stop that, you take that out, and you got an R6, mm-hmm. old R6.
You can get that done at Motor Heaven. Taking that, changing that throttle.
I don't know if they do illegal things. maybe they do, maybe they don't. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
It's a motorcycle workshop. They can do anything for you, I reckon. back again for our stepsis fella. Pirelli tires and GP for 27 season. If so, we might see some great / close racing from Benzanguenzino.11.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, interesting. I mean, tire talk's always good, isn't it? It's we always talk about tire wars as well. How amazing that would be. We'll never see it again, I don't think. I don't know. I'm happy with what's going on with GP with tires. I'm gonna just leave it how it is.
The Michelins are shit. They've always been shit.
Nah, too harsh, James. Too harsh.
They've never got it right.
It's hard to get things right, though, man.
Like, Bridgestones did. Bridgestone under racing with Bridgestones was awesome.
I know, but there's always a thing. They want these things to wear to a certain point, so then they favor someone who's easier on the tires as well, so then the racing gets better. You know, Bridgestone just brought out a tire that was just invincible.
Yeah, but it was great racing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an argument. It's a good argument to have, maybe for another pod.
You know what? And controversially, I don't believe in tire wars. I understand, but I'd rather it be even on tires for every single track. I just don't want to see, Mark Marquez super fast at Silverstone and then nowhere at Montegi, and it's only because of tires.
Mm-mm. Yeah, but then we also saw like
because all we're gonna do is complain about, oh, he's got the shitter tire, which always happens in tire wars.
Yeah.
And then
And
then we're gonna be like, oh, he didn't win because he was on the worst tire, or he won because he's on a better tire.
And that's your dad, Dave Superbike Shaw, goes, oh, I love that. I love how like someone go really.
I'm not in.
I don't like that at all. Yeah. Like, I hate when it's about the tires. Like, make it all even.
Yeah, it just needs to be one. And I hate myself for saying that, but I think that's what it should
be. That's what everyone's thinking, bro.
Yeah.
That's what everyone's thinking.
They just don't want to say it. It's like that old thing, like it's like when guys look at motorbikes at events and they pretend like they know what they're looking at.
Exactly right. Like, I'm the first to say EV bikes are, you know, gay, but like, you have to like actually talk about it and discuss why they are or they're not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. Dat_shadylife. Tom in capitals will not just hold the fort down at the hotel in Thailand. Love you, legends.
Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
Bro, you're going to be on your best behavior.
Best behavior.
You're actually going to be designated driver. I'm going to call you up at 4 a.m. going, Tomislav, I need you to pick me up.
Yeah, there's some talks.
Pick us up.
There's some talks of us hiring. You and Joe.
Yeah, Joseph. We're going to Paris. We're going to Paris or Thailand, bro.
Yeah. Nah, it's going to be good.
We'll high five.
We'll have lots of stories to tell. Don't worry about that.
We're high fiving in Paris.
Yeah, fist bumping.
Yeah, fist bumping. We'll look into my eyes.
Go on.
Scared him. Go on. Willie Nels. Now, shout out again to Willie Nels. He gave us...
Unbelievable.
Rossi's first ever merchandise. It must be something in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Yellow t-shirt. Now, what we're going to do, Willie, is we're actually going to frame it and we're gonna put it in our set somewhere.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that and then make sure we make that live on.
Yep.
So it was really cool. Thank you, mate.
Thank you, Willie. Really appreciate it. And it was awesome watching the race with you on Sunday. It was really enjoyable. Yeah,
it was.
Knowledgeable fella.
Really knowledgeable.
He pulled out some stats. I was like, oh, Willie, where are you pulling these from? He was talking about 1999 Superbike results. And
I thought he was silly, Willie, but he's actually bloody switched on, Willie. Yeah. You're like that.
Yeah. Then you change your profile picture, Willie. You needed something a bit more sophisticated.
He was talking about that for 10 minutes. Yeah. And shout out to Kate, his wife.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Actually, we'll send that photo that you took of you three. You can put it in his profile picture.
Well, you should have it. It's on our stories. But if you send us a message when you listen to this, and I want to be in your... Actually, yeah, I want to be in his profile picture. Yeah,
you got to change your profile picture. Yeah, put James in there.
Got the Republica logo in there. Yeah. Come on, bro. That photo is old.
Go on.
Dick of the week. Highway cops patrolling Phillip Island circuit, telling riders going 10 kilometers an hour to put a helmet on.
We heard this. So who's put this? Is it Willie? Oh, yeah, that was... What a joke. No one was wearing a helmet. And as Willie said, he goes, you got more chance of breaking a wrist than hitting your head.
Yeah.
You know?
Just let people just do what they want.
It's private property. Yeah. Christ's sake. Christ.
It's like a nanny state.
Yeah. Nanny states.
Mm. Pisses me off.
It's where, like, people go, oh, my God, this is, like, the only place I can actually just ride my bike around without a helmet and everyone else is doing it.
It's why people go to superbikes.
Yeah.
They like the novelty of riding on a track. It's awesome. It's really cool.
It is cool.
Ew. Okay, D Silver 87.
Drayson from Ohio.
This could be, yeah. I think it might be from Ohio.
Yeah.
We got a massive fan base now in Ohio.
It's building.
We're actually building that city back up.
I never knew
brick it. Brick by brick. I think they had like a train disaster. Remember those toxic fumes? Pretty sure that was in Ohio.
Right. I'm sure Ohio is massive. If we think it's like a country town.
Yeah. I think Ohio gets like a bad rap though. You know? I always hear stuff about like, oh, I won't live in Ohio.
I think you think of like Detroit.
No, Detroit. Yeah, I know Detroit. Yeah. And shout out to Detroit listeners. But... I would have a Republica headquarters in Ohio.
I don't think they got power in Detroit anymore, bro. They won't be listening to any podcasts.
I don't think there's been power since like the 80s. Yeah. And they lost all the car factories.
Yeah.
All to the CCP, bro. All right, sorry. D Silver, just excluding me. God, he's written this bloody poorly, Jason. What are you doing? Excluding me in 2020, what champion is the least impressive in the past 25 years?
Oh. Nicky Hayden.
Oh!
The guy won one race that year.
Yeah. What are we? So it's from 2000. It's between two Americans. Nicky Hayden or Kenny Roberts Jr. Mm. You're never going to say Rossi. You're never going to say Lorenzo. You're never going to say Stoner. You're never going to say Mark Marquez. Next question.
Even like, there are some, and I've been talking about MotoGP. I mean, I look at that Moto 2 year with Remy Gardner one with
Rael Fernandez.
Those two bikes were just the best, you know? And like, there hasn't really been that in MotoGP for a long time. I'm not saying that was an impressive thing, but there has been some years along the line where it's just been the one team's dominated, which is rare, but yeah.
Well, Ducati's dominating now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
At Tom F145, one of the three presenters will have extreme sunburn after this weekend. Well, he hit the fucking nail on the head.
Jeez, he did too.
at Braden Buttigieg _ Mir Sprint top 5 and GP top 5.
What? Mir? Yeah.
Mir on the HIS.
Oh, so okay. So he's got the form coming into to Burien.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Absolutely no chance.
What's a pain?
If that happens, I'll send the guy a t-shirt.
Okay.
Tom, was it Tom?
No, Braden. God, you're terrible with names.
Braden Bajaya.
Buttigieg.
Bajaya. Yeah. Buttigieg. Yeah, I'll send you a t-shirt if it happens, okay? Done. Lock it in.
There's a lot riding on the line.
Yeah, $30 t-shirt.
Yeah. No, shit, it's worth like
$10 delivery, actually. You got a $10 delivery. Delivery's a joke, by the way, Oz Post. $10 to send a little shirt somewhere. Ridiculous.
It is crazy.
It's killing us.
Killing us.
Oh, it was good to see all the merch. We ran into Mitch in the pit lane. He had his Motorsport Republica top on, and obviously Willie Nelson and Kate as well in the pit lane. That's awesome.
Well, it was great. It was really cool seeing everyone. I really appreciate everyone that came up over the weekend to Daniel, myself, and you.
It was. Yeah, well, Daniel said he had a few people taking photos with him on the Friday, which is pretty cool. So
really cool. Really, really good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Mate, that's it.
Wow.
Thailand,
here we come. Here we come. God, I was thinking about this day months and months ago. So we're going to have that pod on that Monday after Superbikes, and then we're getting into it. So
Superbikes, 2 weeks of basically MotoGP, Phuket, and then we're straight into Albert Park for F1. He's already yawning. He's got there yet.
Could you be any more excited? I mean, seriously.
I'm very, very, very excited in my always monotone voice.
And you know what? It's all thanks to you guys, because we wouldn't be going to Thailand without you guys. We wouldn't have the followership without you guys. We wouldn't be able to get these media passes without you guys. Yep. So we're very thankful.
So we want to give back, obviously, and I'm going to give you as much content as we can. Yep. We love doing it. It's a new lane we've found. It's very fun. And we're going to do an awesome vlog. We're going to do heaps of stories for you guys, heaps of stuff on our socials. Obviously, keep an eye out. Get your mates to buddy watch us. And we will do a pod on the Monday, and then hopefully we can release it at normal time. We just don't know yet with the internet, because it's like a third world country.
Yeah,
you're trying to be funny.
No, you'll be surprised. The internet speed there is absolutely ridiculous. So just really good.
Yeah.
But we'll just see what this hotel's like first, because we have no idea.
We have no idea.
And to upload a video of our size, usually it takes 2 to 3 hours. So to be at a place without the internet, running out.
Uploading YouTube can be a pain in the ass. Yeah. If anything cuts out, you have to restart the whole thing. It's a major pain in the ass. But that's for us. We're excited. Thank you for everyone for listening. Yeah. And we're going to give you the best content ever from MotoGP.
Yep.
Easy, beautiful, mate.
All right. So let's do it. We'll see you in a week.
See ya.
Fuck.